Well, again, we ask the Lord to help us and bless this little time. I want to look at 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, first. 1 Samuel 7 and 10. It says here, "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." You know, there was something pretty spectacular happened that day, in that when they were being attacked by the Philistines, God came to their help. And he just thundered on them. And he thundered so much that it completely just, they just wasn't able to do what they were wanting to do. And the Lord gave them a great victory that day. And Samuel took a stone, and we all are familiar with the word as Ebenezer. But as a reminder to them to remember what God did for them. Hitherto, you know, in the past, the Lord has helped us. And I want to look a little at, we know the scripture says over in 1 Corinthians 11 and 25, we'll just mention that one for the moment. It says, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." I believe, you know, several places in the Bible when things happened that God wanted them to remember, they either set up stones or some way of reminding them of what God had done. When they came through the River Jordan, Moses told them, or the Lord, however it was there, or not Moses, but Joshua, and they took stones and they put them there as a reminder of what God had done for them. They didn't ever want to forget. They didn't want their children to forget that, you know what, God helped us here. We were one time slaves in Egypt, and we couldn't help ourselves. We didn't have any weapons. We didn't have any way. We didn't have any way out. And God came and delivered us. And they didn't want their posterity to forget and begin to worship idols and think, well, you know, I've heard of this God, but who is he? And so the Lord gave them some visible reminders to remember, this is what I've done for you. And we want to remember that today. The scripture tells us that as oft as we do this, we do it in remembrance of something that the Lord did for us. And I just want to take a few minutes and look at some of those things. But first, I want to remember where we were. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it tells us something that we need to remember. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." This is a pretty bad list here. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You know, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? It's a pretty bad list. And Paul wrote here and said, none of these, don't deceive yourself. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and says, and such were some of you. You were too at one time. Some of you were the same. And some of you were other things that offended God. And he said, but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You know, I just want us to think a little bit tonight. Children, we have what we have. Not because that we are wonderful people. Not because we just grew up that ideal youth and we were really something. I'm looking at people here, and some of us had a bad history, didn't we? But you know what? We didn't have any way out. Some of us, we didn't know the way out. We didn't know what to do. How could we come to God and really be forgiven and be saved? There isn't any way. On our own, there's no way. What could we do? What hope did we have? The same world that you see fighting with one another and the wars and all those, that's who we were too. That's what we would have been. But he said, but ye are washed. You know what? Jesus paid a price for you and me. And in all of our living for the Lord, in all of our taking the gospel and doing things and living right and dressing right and doing good things and not doing bad things, the Lord wants us to remember something. I paid a big price for you. I don't ever want you to forget that there's a reason that you have what you have. And so I want to look for just a few minutes here back at what the Lord, the price he paid. Because this was not you and me. This was God of heaven sent his son. This was the Lord come down in a human form. And he paid a price for us and shed blood and gave his life so we could be saved. He gave his life so we could have peace with God. He gave his life so you and I could have eternal life. That's what the Lord did for us. And he wants us to forever remember. He said, as often as you do these things, you do it in remembrance of me. This breaking this body, this bread, that means something. I gave my body. They killed me. They put me on a cross and drove nails through my hands. They whipped my back. And blood flowed out from there. They whipped me unmercifully. I couldn't carry the cross after that. They had to get someone to help me. And then they went on and they began to make fun of me. And then they went on and they put a crown of thorns on my head. And they tapped on it then. And they did all of these things so you and I could have what we have today. And he wants us to remember that this is not just a good lifestyle. It is that, but that's not all it is. The Lord paid a price for you and me. And I want to look at a little bit of that he did here in Matthew 26. We'll read a few scriptures here. Matthew 26 and 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This was a very hard thing. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you just pray with me? I'm in the most desperate place in life I've ever been, and that a man can be. And so he went on. We find on down in 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And so we find this beginning of the suffering that the Lord did so we could be saved. He became that lamb that they used to sacrifice at the Passover for sins. Jesus became that lamb. And so he was taken unmercifully with what did we hear about the other day? Collusion. We heard about something. There was something going on. And he knew all of this. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself. And so one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? If you're going to have life, eternal life, if you're going to have forgiveness of sins, if you're going to have salvation, if the Holy Spirit's going to come into your life, I've got to suffer for you. I've got to lay down my life. So we're just remembering some things here, aren't we? 65, verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes. And so they began to have a big fake trial. And Jesus was in the midst of all this. And he rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What ye think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. I don't know if you've ever been spit in the face. Any of y'all ever been spit in the face? You have. Some of you have. When I was just a little boy, I was walking home one day, and some folks drove by in a car and spit and hit me right in the face. I've never forgot how demeaning that felt. That was, it was demeaning. The Lord wants us to remember, he suffered a lot of things so we could have what we have. And we go on. They spit in his face and buffeted him. That means they hit him. Others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? Dropping on over to Matthew 27 and 26, we pick this up again. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. They just kept up, didn't they? Making fun of him. Children, you ever been made fun of? That's no fun, is it? But you know what? This was on a grand scale. They made fun of him and they kept spitting it in his face. They kept spitting on him and tormenting him, doing then crown of thorns on his head, and here was blood coming down, and all the, and then they take a reed and hit on it to make it even worse. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. He wanted to feel the full weight of what we had done. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Dropping on down to 39. And they that passed by reviled him. That means they were like, who do you think you are? Why do you do? You know, and they reviled him. They not only had spit on him, and it says they reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, you know, the Lord could have done that, couldn't he? Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Dropping on down a little farther to 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And on down in, I'll read on down. This, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And you know, from that time, they pierced his body. They crucified him, as we've read. And from that time, things changed for man. We were Gentiles, folks. All of us, we didn't have a chance at being... We were not the people of God. We were not... What chance would we have had but to be who we were? It's because of the love that the Lord had for us that He did these things and saved us, has given unto us the hope of eternal life. So we want to look back over. Maybe first we'll look in 1 Corinthians 10 and read a verse there, 10 and 16. It says here, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And so when we partake of these things that we're fixing to read about here in 1 Corinthians 11, we are partaking of the Lord's of what He is and of His sacrifice. We're partaking of His blood and of His body that was broken for you and me. I heard of a book that was written with the title, His Friends Also Must Die. Do you know, we become partakers of this. And when we drink that, we become a partaker of Christ and His sufferings. We're told in the scriptures that we can't enjoy the good things of God and not become a partaker of who Christ was. We become a partaker of His sufferings. And so when we suffer, and we will, it's part of it, isn't it? And so when we take this, we're a partaker. When we break that bread and we take a piece of that, we're part of a body that, as we read, it's part of a larger body. It's part of all those that have followed the Lord. We become one body in Christ. The Lord doesn't want us split up into bodies out there, into sectism and all those things. He tells us to come out from those things and to be separate. He wants a body, and the Lord wants us to be that this morning, this afternoon. Now we want to look here, 1 Corinthians 11, and maybe we'll start about 21, maybe at 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. The Lord isn't looking for us to be feasting right now. He wants us to be remembering something. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we're going to pray here, and then break the bread, and then we're all going to be a partaker of that. And we want to remember what the Lord did for us. And we want to remember that our life is not a Christian life in the sense that we're above all others. We're servants, aren't we? We take upon us the sufferings of Jesus. We take upon us the cross that he took in our life. And it means something. And we receive the glory with him. Father in heaven, we want to thank you today, dear God, for the life that we have. We want to thank you, Lord, for the body that you gave that was broken for us, that we might be saved. Thank you, dear Lord, for what you did for us, Lord. We partake of this. We partake of your sufferings, Lord, that we might also be a partaker of your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll break this bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's the New Covenant. This cup that we drink of, that's the New Covenant in his blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So maybe we'll have prayer again. Father in heaven, again we want to thank you for the price that you paid. Lord, you shed blood for us, dear Lord, and you made a way back to God. Father in heaven, we have many blessings, and we want to remember and thank you, Lord. We know those blessings are because of you, because of the blood you shed, and we become a partaker, Lord. We become willing, Father, to be a partaker of your sufferings today. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. It goes on to say, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How could they be guilty? Because they just drink this. And you know, Jesus said, we're either for him or against him, aren't we? We're either for the Lord or else the devil's going to use our life. And so he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come.